Heavenly Father, once again we come before you, Lord, asking that you would feed our hearts, Lord, that you would give us revelation. And Father, we come to thank you and praise you for every blessing, Lord, for every revelation, for every word, for every mystery unfolded in this last day, Lord. We thank you for that prophet. We thank you for the voice. We thank you for the Holy Spirit. We thank you, Father, Lord, that you elected your bride before the foundation of the world. Lord, may you just take the furtherance of this service, Lord, as we look to thee to lead us and guide us. We ask all in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Good to see each one. You can be seated. And we just thank the Lord to be here and to be able to share the word of God. And I had intended tonight to continue from Sunday on the manifested sons, and this is, but it's not the quotes that I had pulled previously. I had some still more of those quotes from Sunday that I was going to continue on. And then early this morning, I was brother from Pakistan had asked me to answer some questions him and his son was talking about, and it got me into the message of it's the rising of the sun. And I would just I had a little bit of time before waking up the girls, and I thought I was trying to get some study in. And so then when I found these questions, I thought, well, maybe I could do this quickly. And I tried to, because I knew where they were, and so I tried to do it. It ended up taking all my time, but while I was getting those questions answered, I ran across these quotes, and it's the rising of the sun. And so I felt like that the Lord took me that way so I would find them, and so I'm going to read them. And that's the way we're going to go. And now I didn't realize till just right at the last minute, my computer started shutting down, and I've been sitting there with it unplugged all this time. And so it was, my battery was dead, so it's charged now for 10 minutes. So I don't know what's going to happen. I put the cord right over there in case I have to call for it. And we'll just ask the Lord to help it along. Amen. So we appreciate the prayers now for Brother Benjamin. And he's settling in now. And as you know, he talked about Sharon. She's taken it really hard, and it's been a real devastating thing for all of them. And so we just appreciate each one holding up the family before the Lord. And we want to continue to hold up Sister Esther also. I know you've been praying for her. And so as we enter in now to this, I was looking for a scripture right up to just a few minutes ago, and I was talking to my wife. I said, I felt like this is the quotes that the Lord wanted me to use. And I said, but I would like to have a scripture. And so right after she walked out, a scripture came to my mind. And this is in Genesis 1, 23, starting at 23 through 27, 28. So just a couple of scriptures here. And the evening and the morning were the fifth day. And God said, let the earth bring forth the living creature after his kind, cattle and creeping thing and beast of the earth after his kind. And it was so. And God made the beast of the earth after his kind and cattle after their kind, and everything that creepeth upon the earth after his kind. And God saw that it was good. And God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness. And let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him, male and female created he them. And God blessed them. And God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over everything that moveth upon the earth. And so I know you're very familiar with the scripture here, but we know that at this time, Adam was still a part of Eve. There had been no separation, no division yet of God separating these two, the feminine and the masculine part of Adam. And so, but when he's created them, though, God's recognizing or acknowledging here, and he's calling them, speaking of them, both the masculine and the feminine part of Adam. Yet they're still one. They're still one. They haven't been that separation. I can't think of the word that I want to use here, so I'm just calling it separation. This division. They were divided. She was taken out of him, and so now after Eve is made, now you're looking at two different bodies. But here there was just in one body. Here this was one body. And it was both the male and the female was there together. And so I took for the subject tonight, he went to Calvary with you in him. And so when Adam came forth, Eve was in him. And when Christ came forth, we were in him. We were in him then. And so Brother Branham brings that out in this message here. And it caught my attention this morning. And so I wanted to put this in here. Now, beginning in It's the Rising of the Sun, paragraph 240. Now, notice this quickening power, Zoe. Bringing the word, the mind that was in Christ was in you then. Huh? The mind that was in Christ was in you then. I'm trying to show you that you, when you raised, see, when God raised Jesus from the dead, he raised up you also. See? And you know, you've read that message. It's the rising of the sun. You've read the Easter seal. And so in that those messages, he works very hard to bring to the people that not you're going to be. Not you're going to be quickened. Not you're going to be resurrection. Not you're going to receive life. He makes it clear over and over and over that you are right now resurrected. You are right now, you have been transformed. And he talks about it. And that's the quotes that the brother, I sent to the brother, because that he tells us what that transformation is. He said it's the quickening power and it comes upon this mortal body. And he said this mortal body is now quickened. It is now made alive. And so just as when he talked about when it quickens the seed, he said it quickens. He said when the quickening power, when the sun comes on the seed, it doesn't just quicken the seed, but it quickens that earth that's around that seed. So it's going to get some of the earth, not all the earth, but it's going to get that earth right there that's around the seed, and that gets quickened together. And so they're working together. Now, in that quickening power, so God now, that quickening power, that life that's now in there, that's been quickened, brings that earth into subjection to the Word of God. Amen. So he said, now, God raised Jesus from the dead. He raised you up also. And he also quickened to life with him. You are now quickened to life. Now, he uses that word all the way through these two messages. Now. Not future. He makes it clear. Not future. Right now. It's already happened. Amen. Although then you were but an attribute in his thought. See? But God had saw all in him at the finish. So at that time at Calvary, we were but a thought. At the foundation of the world, we were but a thought. Amen. We were in his thoughts. And we were waiting for that day, for that seed in you to come to manifestation, to be quickened to life. But God had saw all in him at the Penitentiary, and when God looked down upon the body, now the spirit left him in the Garden of Gethsemane. He had to die a man. He didn't go to Calvary as God. He went to Calvary as a man. He suffered as a man. He had the body of a man. He had the blood of a man. And I can remember when I was a young Christian and I'd read where Brother Adam said, that was the blood of God. I always thought about that, and I thought everything about him was supernatural. This was absolutely God. It was supernatural blood. It was supernatural body. It was supernatural. It was not. It was the created blood. But it was blood. It is the same blood that you got in your body. It was blood. And when you cut him, he bled just like you bled. But that blood was the created blood of God. Just as Adam had the created blood of God. God spoke that into existence, and there he was. And every one of us come from that. And we come from that blood that he had, and that blood continued to come right on down and right on down. And so it was blood. He went to Calvary as a man. He couldn't go there as God because God couldn't die. So he had to go there as a man. Brother Branham said he suffered everything that we suffer. He went through every temptation. He went through every pain. He talked about how that he could sit there with a migraine headache and heal somebody, and yet for himself, he said the gift wasn't for himself. And that's exactly what Brother Branham said. That's what he said at the wreck when Brother Billy Paul just kept telling him, just speak the word, Daddy, just speak the word, and you'll it'll be over. And Brother Branham wouldn't do it. He had always said, the gift is not for me. He said, the gift is for you. It's for you. But that quickening power was there. That life was there. And God, whenever God wanted it to manifest, it manifested, and it did it however God wanted to do it. See, remember, friends, he didn't have to do that. Is that right? He didn't have to do it. He made a choice to do it. And Brother Branham made it clear, the scripture, I was actually reading the scripture earlier. Brother, Jesus said, you don't take my life. I'm giving my life. I laid down my life. You're not doing it. You denominational devils, you think that you're taking it. You think that you're killing me. No, I'm giving my life. I'm laying down my life. I'm doing what the Father has showed me that he wants me to do. That's what I do. And it's not, you're not doing it. You're not. They thought they were doing it. They weren't doing it. The disciples thought that they were doing it. They weren't doing it. They found out later it was the plan of God that was to be the way that it was. And it is for every believer, the plan of God. Whatever we go through, that's the plan of God. And we accept it that way. We believe it that way. The Spirit left him in the Garden of Gethsemane. He had to die a man. Remember, friends, he didn't have to do that. That was God. God anointed that flesh, which was human flesh. It wasn't a supernatural body, it was human flesh. See? And if he'd have went up there as God, he'd have never died that kind of death. You can't kill God. But he didn't have to do it. Remember, he went there with you in him. Amen. Now, think about that now. Brother Branham is saying, and Brother Branham makes it clear, and he's going to detail it a little bit more. He went to Calvary with us in him. Amen. Watch what he says. See, God had never separated the bride from the groom yet. Amen. Just like we just read about Adam. God had not separated Eve from Adam yet. Here at Calvary, he had not separated the bride from him yet. So when God looked down upon the body of Christ, he saw both male and female. Now, I really like this. I really like this. It was all redeemed in that one body. That's right. See? They are one, same word, the same word. See, the same word that spoke of the groom speaks of the bride. They are one. They are one body.
That's right.
Now, He's gonna talk about the separation, and he's gonna talk about the oneness. And so, now I want to jump over in the message, because as I was reading these quotes, a quote from God of This Evil Age came to my mind, and I wanted to insert it here. So we're gonna jump over and read that. I think this is starts with paragraph 64. Now then, you see, here comes into perfect view predestination. Now, in these messages, I want to emphasize the things that I have told you in the message. He's saying in these messages that I'm preaching now, these series I'm preaching now, I want to emphasize the things I've told you in the message that I've been bringing to you, of this evening light that God said would come upon the earth. And then he throws in the scriptures here. I notice then, the beast that was to come upon the earth would deceive all whose names were not put on the Lamb's Book of Life, slain before the foundation of the world. So he's saying, now, what did he say here first? The first thing that he said, here comes into perfect view predestination. And then he takes us to the scripture and says, he would deceive all. He would deceive all whose names were not in the Lamb's Book of Life. See, in God's own thinking, God, the great spirit, in the beginning, before there was a beginning, he was God. See? And did you know you were in him then? If you are a Christian now, you was in him then. You was in him at Calvary. You were in him. You were in him before the foundation of the world. And then if that be so, the whole Godhead bodily shaped up in the person of Jesus Christ. And then when Jesus died at the cross, I died with him. For I was in him then. For he was the fullness of the word manifested, knowing that we would be manifested later. And we was at Calvary with him. We went in the grave with him. And we raised with him and his resurrection. And now we've ascended by his spirit to the throne of grace, setting together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Always. See? Now, all of this, I know you've read it over and over and over, but this one just, it really caught my attention today, because we talk so much about being resurrected. We talk, you know, that we are now resurrection, we're now caught up. But notice that he's placing emphasis here, and now we've ascended. Amen. That's rapture. That's being caught up. That's being caught away. Ascended. And so, and once again, sorry to point out disbelief, you know, every time you come across these things, but there's literally people, and I've been standing beside them when they're laughing. I've literally been standing beside them when they laugh. I can remember one time, some of my first trips to Kenya, there were some sisters coming. We were at a camp meeting, and I don't know if they didn't know I was standing there or they didn't care I was standing there. I don't know. But anyways, I was two sisters, their husbands. I don't remember one of them, but one of them I know, her husband was a minister. And so they come out from the service, and they were laughing about it. And they were laughing about it, being raptured and still being here and saying they're caught up. They're this and they're that. And so I just happened to be close enough that I could hear them, and they were talking in English. And so I didn't say anything. I thought, oh, that's okay. I mean, they can laugh. They can do whatever they want to. But the word confirms it over and over and over again. And Paul confirmed it in that day. And that's the thing people miss. He confirmed it. He said, you've now been translated into the kingdom of God. You've now been translated. There's a transformation that takes place. There's a translation that takes place. Here, we've ascended. When you are born again, you are caught up. You are caught up right then into a heavenly atmosphere, into another atmosphere. And so that's where you live. That's where you walk. And it changes your thinking. It changes your actions. It changes your The things that you think and the things that you say, you're a different person. You're a different person, but people are looking at the same veil of flesh that they've always seen. And so that confounds them. That confounds them. And then, but many times they know you're different if they knew you when you were in the world. They know that you're different, but they can't, that's not the thing that gets another person born again. That won't do it. They have to also be a seed. So no matter what they see, the change that took place in you, how much they see the life of Christ in you, how they see that your life's been turned around, you're a new person, you might have once been mean and a fighter, and now you're loving and caring and all of that. But that won't make them born again. That won't change them. But they will note it. They will note it. They'll take note. See? Setting together in heavenly places. Now, let me see. All right, paragraph 68. For as the germ of natural life is brought down, germatized from father to father to father to father, so is the life of Christ germatized. Now, this is quite a statement here that he's talking about. See, that's the reason God uses Elijah's spirit five different times. What is it? It's the handing down. And so Brother Branham is talking about the natural life is brought down, germatized from father to father. So is the life of Christ germatized, brought down, brought down, brought down. See, as it is in the natural, so is it in the spiritual. Just as your natural life and traits is handed down from the natural breeding of your father, so is the Spirit of God that was predestinated before the foundation of the world. God just passing that down. And so just as you can't get away from the natural breeding, there's things, some families are more dominant than others, and some, maybe the children all look, maybe they look different from one another. But even in that case, I mean, I've seen families that every child, and I could name one, but I won't be. But I know a family, and they used to come here, and everybody in that family, if you didn't see them, I mean, if you didn't know them, and you seen them somewhere, you would know they were in that family. If you had met one person in the family, you'd know every one of them that you met were in that family, because they all had the same traits. They all had the same looks. And I remember one time, and you don't always tell that to people. Some people are offended by it. I remember when I was in high school, I went to school. A friend of mine in school, his name was Clay Suber. And we had classes together and everything. And so he had a younger sister and an older sister. And so I worked at the supermarket there when I got out of school. And I run the register. And so his sister come through the line one day, and she was older, she was married, and so I just as soon as I seen her, I knew, I knew who it was, and I said, you're Clay Suber's sister, and she looked at me, and she said, well, how did you know that? And I said, well, just by looking at you, I said, it was obvious that you look just like him. And I'm telling you, that was the wrong thing to say. That was the wrong thing to say. She got a frown on her face, and she didn't speak to me. I finished checking her out. She didn't say another word to me. She didn't want to be identified with her brother somehow. Maybe she didn't think he was pretty or something. And apparently I just said it wrong. But anyways, sometimes in a family, those characteristics, Brother Branham said he had the forehead of his father. And so I see that in some families, they have the forehead, they have the eyes, they have something that goes with the father. You can't get away from it. And so everyone, even if each of the children look different, every one of them are going to have some type of characteristic from those parents. You can't get away from it. It's going to be there, because that's the handing down. And that's how it is in the spiritual. In the spiritual, that spiritual handing down is You're going to act like your father. You're going to look like your father. You're going to dress like your father. The way that he has in his mind, that's the way you're going to do. And that you can't get away from that. It's something that comes down in the genes. And that's what he's talking about. It being germatized, handed down, coming down. And you're going to, many times we might find characteristics of our parents. And I've seen this too. I've seen children that maybe one parent was really hard and another parent was really sweet. And you wonder how them opposites they attract. And one of them will... They won't like that hardness and say, I don't want to be like him. And they'll be like the other one. And they'll try to change. They'll try to do something different. And the other one is soft and maybe tries to go the other way. It happens. There's something there that is passed down that you can't get away from. No matter how much, it's there in the natural side. And so maybe sometime when you become a Christian, there's some of those traits that come along that you have to bring them in, rein them in. You have to bring them in subjection to the Word of God. They're personality things maybe that come along. And Brother Branham talked about that, and especially different nationalities. He talked about those type of personalities and how that they have to be brought under control. And really surprised me one time. He was talking about this boy who was in this family and was going to marry this girl. I think they was engaged. But Brother Branham, from the pulpit, he said, the worst thing that girl could ever do would be marry that boy. He said, it would be a living hell on earth. Said that's what it would be if she married him. She said, because that personality that come down from those parents, he's got it. And he's got the bad side of it. Some of the other ones are okay, but he got the bad side of it. And so he said that, you know, I would tell her to run for her life. But he said what he needs is a new birth. And the new birth can take all of that away. The new birth can fix it. So now... So is the Spirit of God that was predestinated before the foundation of the world. And when the entire Word of God, how much? Entire, the fullness, see? Incomplete, was headed up in a human body called Jesus Christ. In there, when you were in there, God made me pay for my sins. In Him, there. Why? Because it hadn't, that separation hadn't been. That division hadn't taken place yet. You were in there. You were in Him. You were still there in His thought. You were still attributes in Him being manifested. Him manifesting, you were in Him. And you paid for your sins in Him. Why? Because the bride and the groom is the same. They're one and the same. And you can't separate them. They're one and the same. Now, it sounds like a contradiction, don't it? Because he separated Adam and Eve, and because the bride was released at Calvary. She was released from him. And so then, what's the first thing that happened when that bride was released? They began to fall away. Brother Adam said within 50 years, they began to fall away. That bride began to fall away. And then it went into the ground, and then there began to be a resurrection, begin to come back. And then finally, he said, there would be a bride that will not fail. There was only going to be one way to get this bride that could not fail. It was going to be a bride that could have nothing. No man made anything mixed in with it. Man was not going to have a part in this. No. He wasn't going to be able to have any works in it, any part in it. It was going to be a body that he had to complete preeminence in, and that his life was going to be the controlling factor. His life was going to take over this body and bring it in complete subjection. And the perfection that would be in that body would be his perfection. Not anybody's righteousness, not anybody's perfection, none of that. In there, God made me pay for my sins. In him there. Then he rose me, raised me up with him in the resurrection. You were in that resurrection with him. See, and now we are seated with him with power and authority over every devil. Oh, if we could only believe that. Believe what God has given. But if you're not seated there, you don't have it. See? But if you're seated there and don't believe it, or afraid to move, you'll never use it. Now, he's going to correct that. But if you are seated there, you will use it. For you're ordained to do what you do. If you're sitting there in that place, you will use it. Amen. Because you will believe it. Pharaoh on the other side was raised up for this purpose. The Bible said to be Pharaoh. See, he was raised for that purpose. And that's the reason when he wanted to let them go, God hardened his heart. He said, no, you're not going to let them go. I've raised you up for this purpose. That you're going to not let them go until I have fully shown my power and my full plan is going to be manifested here. Judas Iscariot was raised up to be the son of perdition. Now notice these great truths that we are approaching. Amen. Amen. So now that goes right with what we were reading here. In the rising of the sun. So back to the rising of the sun, paragraph 243. Well, how can the bride come and fail to manifest everything that was promised of him? She can't. She can't fail. Everything that he promised that she would be in this day, she can't fail that. She's everything that the scripture said would take place in this day. And the groom come, and he wouldn't be the bride. Now, this is, the wording's tricky here. And so, if you see this differently, then I'm just telling you how I see it. And so, I'm taking it just like he said it. So, it can be taken a couple of different ways. So, if you think he means something different, then that's okay. But I'm just taking it as he said. And I think that I'm understanding it fine. But I'm just giving you that. I'm throwing that out there for you. So the groom come and he wouldn't be the bride. Now we know the groom and the bride is one and the same, right? But when the groom came, the groom manifested the word for his day. And when the bride come, she's not manifesting the word for that day. Not with the bride. And the groom didn't manifest the what would be in the last days. He didn't do that. He stopped in the middle of the scripture. He stopped right there in the middle of the scripture. And he closed the book and he laid it down. He said, this day, this scripture is fulfilled. So he couldn't do this yet. But now it's time. See? And so the groom can't come and he wouldn't be the bride. So now, watch. When he did everything, even to proving it, by raising himself up from the dead afterwards. Now he's talking about what he did in that day, in his day. See? In his day. He did everything, even to proving it, by raising himself up from the dead. And so now he's going to talk about her day. Now he's going to talk about us, this day. Then don't the bride have to do the same thing? Have to be exactly what the word said she would be in these last days? Absolutely. That's what she's got to be. That's what he was. That's what she is. See? Don't she have to return through Malachi 4? Don't she have to be manifest like it was in the days of Sodom? How did Jesus had to come through Malachi 3? The Elijah John. We had to come through Malachi 4. The Elijah of this day, see? And don't she have to be manifested like it was in the days of Sodom? What happened in the days of Sodom? God came down in flesh, came to a bride that was separated from the things of the world, came to Abraham who was separated from all the rest of them, didn't go down there like Lot did and live in that filth, separated himself, God came down to him and began to reveal himself to him, began to reveal what he was fixing to do to him. And so that's the same thing happened in this place, in this day. God came down in a veil of flesh, human flesh, and he began to reveal himself to his wife, to the bride. And she was living, she was separated from those things now, and just having communion with God himself. Don't the world have to be just exactly like it is? Isn't these things a perfect identification of the Word of God made known to us? Amen. Amen. Absolutely amen. All the world is falling apart. The world's falling apart. It's corruption to the core. The politics, everything is politically motivated. Everything is, it's a war. It's political war. It's spiritual war. It's every kind of war is going on. And it's a perfect identification of the Word of God made known to us. Paragraph 245. Look, notice this. But God foresaw the bride in the groom. Hallelujah. See? To save his wife like Adam. He had to go with her. Adam knowed what he was doing. Now, this is in 1965. This is in April of 1965. Adam went with his wife. He knowed what he was doing. He had to go with his wife. He had to because she was part of him. He was going for himself. That was himself that was there. That was himself that he walked out to take back, to claim. And that's the same thing with Christ. He was taking himself. He took on our sin because we were a part of him. Praise be to God. I keep getting a pop-up. I don't know if you're getting it, but I think somebody's talking to you asking. I don't know if it's about the volume or something, but for some reason it keeps coming up on my side. Notice, God foresaw the bride in the groom. Hallelujah. See, to save his wife, like Adam. He had to go with her. Adam knowed what he was doing. Eve didn't know what she was doing. See, but Adam walked out with his wife, see. And Jesus took his wife's place, became sin for her. Remember, he became you. He stood your punishment that you might stand in his place. He stood in your place that you might stand in his place. What a love. What a fellowship. How can we deny it? How can we do anything but love him, friend? I could stay on it for hours, but let's move a little further, see? Like the Pentecostal experience today. The coming of the Holy Ghost in this last days. Huh? The coming of the Holy Ghost in this last days. As promised, is like the abstract to a title deed. This Holy Ghost that has come in this last days, this promise, this token, it's like an abstract title deed. Now, you can get a title, sure, see. You can get a title to a place, but that still don't say that it's yours. I got a friend that I work with. It's not just land, but it's vehicles too. And I got a friend that, real good guy, nice guy, a Mexican, good friend of mine, and he bought a truck, and it was a really nice truck, and he got a really good deal on it. And he drove that truck for months. And then one day the police show up at his house and tell him that that truck is a stolen truck and it belongs to somebody else. And he said, well, I got the title. And he said, I got the proof right here that this is mine. And so they took it and they checked the VIN. I think the VIN on the top side was okay. That had been changed to match the title. And then there's other places on the vehicle that VIN is, and it didn't match. And that truck had been stolen, and they made a new title for that truck, and they sold it to him. And so I told him, I said, there's one place to go, and I said, that's when you buy a vehicle, you go to the tag place, and you take the title. And they run that title through the search right then. And that will show up if that's a real title or it's a fake title. And but I got one time with the, I bought a dump trailer one time, and we went to the bank and made a bill to sell and sold it. And then I got to the, when I got to the tag place, they told me what the problem, and that guy was long gone. And so you can get a false title. And I can remember being with Brother Goomba in Kenya, riding down the road, and there'd be signs, be big signs on property, and it says, "This property is not for sale." And I'm like, "Brother, why would they do that? Why would they put a sign up, 'This property is not for sale'?" I thought, well, maybe a lot of people are asking them if they can buy it. That's what it would be here. You know, if maybe somebody's pestering you and wanting that property, so you just say, "Okay, not for sale." But you don't see that. But what they told me was that people will come sell your land. They'll come sell your land and make a bill of sale, make a title, and that land belongs to somebody else. And so you got to go through the right channel. You got to go to the right place to make sure that don't happen to you. And so you can get a title to a place that still doesn't say it's yours. And that's the prophet's telling us. So when you get a title, you need something more than a plain title. You need an abstract title. You need an abstract title that has been searched back all the way back to the very first person that ever had that. All the way back. I can remember I worked for years and years as a subcontractor, and I never had my contractor's license. And when I went to get my contractor's license, then I was going to, you have to have an audit. And I said, well, we have an accountant. We do our books every year. Well, to my surprise is that wasn't good enough. They didn't want to know what this year was or last year was. They said, you have to go all the way back to the very beginning, to the first day that you started. And you have to give an account of that every year, every year. If you've been doing this 20-something years, now you got to have that audit that's going to cover 20 years. And it costs a lot of money. But they would not accept you that you're just going to take from this time forward. That wasn't it. You had to go all the way back. Before I could get my license, I had to do that. See, somebody way back yonder could come in and put a claim on it. That's right. But when you get an abstract, that shows that everything that's ever against it is struck off. Plumb back from the foundation. Is that right? That's right. And so, and there is. And even these big companies, I'm told that this land over here, I have some property there, Brother Gerald, Brother Michael, Gabriel, different ones. Several people own some property. Brother Glenn owns some property over there. I'm told that that land over there, that they used to mine gold there. And that when the mining companies left and they sold the property, that they put in there that if anybody ever discovered gold or made a claim there, that they had rights, that they had rights to it. And so that's what an abstract will tell you. If anybody has anything against it, is there anything against that property? And in this case, we're talking about this property. We're talking about the seed that's on the inside, this property here. And when a man says that he believes the word, and then when the Holy Spirit comes, it's the abstract to the title. See? Praise be to God. That's it. Amen. That's it right there. That's the token. That's the life. When that once comes in, that's the abstract. It's been searched all the way back to the foundation of the world that you were in him before the foundation of the world. Amen. Praise be to God. That gives you permission. When you have that abstract, see, that is the eternal covenant. That's the covenant right there. That's that oneness of you and God before the foundation of the world. It's a clear title deed all the way back. And every bit of that belongs to you. And everything is on it belongs to you. Amen. See, that gives us the abstract. And when the Holy Ghost comes upon this title deed that God saw back yonder before the foundation of the world and put its name on the book of life, see, but was born through a man and a woman and subject to sin and guilty of sin. We were born in sin, every one of us, see? But when I believed on it, I received the deed. But when the Holy Ghost come, it was the abstract that everything against me, whether my mother done it, my father done it, my grandmother done it, huh? Every bit of it was cleared off right there. And Brother Brandon, remember, he just said, those things came down. They came down. They come down. And I was reading recently where he talked about that. And I know I had read back somewhere where he said that it didn't. But I've read recently where Brother Branham said those things are visited down. They're visited down. Like a little epileptic child I prayed for a few minutes ago. That come through from the grandparents. The epilepsy fell down upon the child. And I said, when the abstract has come, it struck off, omitted everything. I'm an abstract holder then. Amen. And as sure as the Spirit that raised Christ from the dead, I have an abstract deed that I'm a part of that body. With the abstract of the Holy Ghost making that body of Word live out just exactly like it did in Him as He promised in this last days. Amen. That just as He promised, it's Him. The abstract, all my sins are struck out. All your sins are struck out by the blood of Jesus Christ. And the Holy Ghost is come as an abstract to the title deed that God give me grace, by foreknowledge. Oh my, praise be to God. It's all gone. What are you scared about? No wonder he said, fear not. I am he that was dead and alive again. I'm alive forevermore and have the keys of death and hell. Don't worry about nothing. Even death ain't going to hurt you. Amen. Notice, beautiful, that's right. The abstract title, the debt is settled. Everything against it has been struck off. He starts laughing. Glory, I may act silly, but I feel good. Right. Notice, an abstract deed. Do you realize what that means? Do you realize what it means? Brother, there's nothing can take it away from you. Amen. I'm a holder. Amen. What deed I have now cashed in on my beneficiary of his death, burial, and resurrection. He become me that I might become him. Now he became a sinner that I might become a son. Amen. Hold the abstract deed, for these signs shall follow them that believe. See the abstract deed? Amen. What did he say? Everything was struck off. All sin was struck off. Everything you'd done was struck off. Everything mama did, everything daddy did, all of it was struck off. All of it. Amen. You can't put any sin on a born-again person. Now, let's notice what he did on Stephen. Stephen was full of the quickening power. Wasn't that right? He was full of quickening power. And it didn't make him scared. He said, you stiff neck and uncircumcised in heart and ears. You always resist the Holy Ghost like your fathers did. So do you. Which one of the prophets that showed forth the coming of the Just One didn't your father stone? Oh my. Done something to him, sure. He was full of quickening power. And they said, we'll get rid of that guy. And when he died, they stoned him. And this his poor little head, the stones beating against him like that, he looked up and said, I see the heavens open. Quickening power was working. I see the heavens open and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. That's what quickening power done. Amen. For Stephen. Notice another fellow now. See, his name was Philip. He was so full of quickening power. He was having a great big meeting down in Samaria. Devils being cast out, people being baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. He was having a real meeting, and the Spirit spoke to him, and the dynamics come down and said, leave this revival. Could you imagine? Can you imagine what the people would think? I'm talking about your brothers and sisters are going to think now. You're in the middle of a revival. God's pouring out His Spirit. You're having a good time. And then one of the ministers says, listen, I'm going somewhere else. I'm going to leave. I'm enjoying, but I'm going somewhere else. You're going to think, man, what's wrong with him? There's no way that God is going to send him away when here we are having a good time in the Lord. God told him to leave. God wanted him to go work somewhere else. God wanted him to speak to another group of people. This, what was going on here was all fine. God wanted it to be happening somewhere else too. I think we're coming more to that. I think we're coming more to that understanding and that realization that the bride is led by the Spirit of God. And when God is leading somebody, this is Brother Branham said, we're not going to fight one another. When God is leading somebody, we're going to acknowledge that. And we're going to leave that. Leave it alone. That's a son of God, and God's dealing with them. And if they're doing wrong, if they're making a mistake, God will fix that. God will be the one. We're not going to fix it. We're not going to fix nobody. God is the one. He was in a great big meeting down in Samaria, and devils being cast out, people baptized, having a real meeting, and the Spirit spoke to him. The dynamics come down and said, leave this revival, but what will the minister say? Don't make any difference what they say. He was full of the quickening power. He had the gasoline. The dynamics was falling upon him. So it said, go into the desert. And he found a eunuch there and baptized him in the name of Jesus Christ, one man, who took the message down to Ethiopia. That's right. He obeyed God in obedience to God. If you have never been baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, do it. And watch the quickening power. See, pick you up then. Amen. Now, Philip done this great thing to leave that great revival, obey the commandments of God. When he fulfilled by baptizing this unit in obedience to God, he was so full of the quickening power till it caught him away. It'll quicken your mortal body.
That's right.
If this spirit that raised Jesus from the dead, it quickened Philip till he wasn't seen for maybe 150 miles over somewhere else, over in another country. See, it quickened his mortal body.
Amen.
How did he do it? He was so full of the quickening power. Amen. Praise be to God. When that bride, she came out of him. She was in him at Calvary. She came out. She raised with him. She died with him. She paid for her sins in him. She was right there with him in all of that. And then she was poured out. And so she come down to this day. This day, this part of the bride, this part of the body is what I'm talking about. That Christ quickened that seed to manifest the fullness of the revelation, the fullness of the Spirit in her. And God is doing it. God is doing it. And the things that we read about, then God can do the same thing today. I don't care what supernatural that he done anywhere else, he can do the same thing today. And he will when we are yielded to him. I'm not looking for the healing revival that came in the seventh age or in any other age, but God is able to do anything he wants, anytime he wants.
Amen.
He's able. Because he has a people on the earth that believe that he can do whatever he wants, whenever he wants. That's the bride. She Amen. Believes. She's been quickened. This mortal body has been quickened. And if God promised that he would have a body, that he would have the full preeminence in that body, then you can be sure that that preeminence is so that he can move that body.
Right.
He can do whatever he wants, whenever he wants. That's his purpose of having the preeminence, so that we're not in control with this mind, but he's in control. He can move you whenever he wants to move you.
Amen.
Amen. Praise be to God. We thank him, we praise him. For his word, we thank him for revelation. We thank him for that quickening power. We thank him that now we can recognize that we were a part of that just as he's a part of this. That this couldn't happen without him. And Brother Ben said, that couldn't happen without us. The fullness couldn't have been there unless we were there because we were part of him. That's how much. That's how important it was. The bride was in him. That's what made it the fullness. Because you were a part of the Word. And he is the Word. And in order for that to manifest, we had to be there. Praise be to God. I hope I'm saying it where it makes sense. But God, if I'm not, God will help you to see it. Because I can say that you can't separate the bride and the groom. But the bride and the groom was separated. They were separated. So it just depends on how you're saying it and what you mean when you say it. Just like Adam and Eve. They were separated. But they were always one. They could never be separated. He couldn't walk away and leave her. That flesh was separated. But in the heart, they were one. And the bride in Christ, in the spirit, they're one. They're just one. And that's all. Just one. So, praise the Lord. I'm going to close right there. And I'm going to ask Brother Goomba if he'll come and dismiss us tonight in prayer. And if he wants to say anything, he can. Now, you know, as soon as the girls came, we talked about singing some Swahili songs. And so we're wanting to hear more. And so we want you to pray about that. If you feel led to do that, we welcome you. And if Brother Goomba feels led to do that now, we welcome that. So come, brother. Amen. Trust you've had a good day, a good week, and God bless you as you continue right on.
We will not be able to sing Swahili songs tonight because we have not practiced. And I think we need to get together and practice some few Swahili songs. And then we sing the Swahili songs and the interpretation thereof. Otherwise, when you sing the Swahili songs, you sometimes don't understand what you're saying. So we try to do that, okay? We get together at home and we see what we can do, okay? Girls, you can do that, all right? And I know you're a better singer than me, so you read it. You people read it. Don't think that I'm a preacher. I'm supposed to read the mat, okay? I don't know how to sing. So we will get together. We'll practice it. And we'll get Nenda Senior also maybe to learn how to get the Swahili keys. We do not do that. We try to do that. Yes. thank you very much for the service. As I said, the quotes are there. It came very well. I like it. I would say that go home, listen it again. Not only reading quotes is okay, because you know you can read quotes. But there's something when the preacher is preaching that's different. You can get the same book that he was reading. The rising of the sun. I think I've read it about maybe 10 times or something like that. But when he preaches it, when he reads those quotes, there was always something that God comes with that voice. That's why the servants of God are very important to me. I don't know others, but to me, a servant of God, a minister, is very important to me. And there's a brother I heard saying that he doesn't go to church. I don't know how he does that. I don't know how he does that, because I believe, and I would encourage you, it's very, very important to listen to a minister. There's something that comes. Don't think that you can get it. You can get it. I'm not saying you cannot, but if you go to Sahara Desert and you're there alone, God will do something to you. But if God has provided this way, it's good to go by that. It's good to listen. It's good to listen even at home. Just click that. That YouTube thing, that channel, cricket, when you're free, washing dishes, just listen. It's very good. If you stumble on something that is not clear, you just stay there, pray. I'm sure there's a purpose for this when God talks the way he does. Well, these are deep things that Brother Tony is bringing. I think there's a purpose for that, and it's very good to listen. It's good to listen. It's good to study. It's good to go deep there. They're not just said for, you know, I've heard people say, and I'm not talking very much, but,
okay.
but I've heard people say, you know, you meet somebody, that was a good sermon. I think to me that's not enough. Just to say it's a good sermon. There must be something. There must be a substance in your heart that you can say, it did this. This is what I see. I see something there.
Yeah.
You know, it blessed me. It's something real in me. Something happened.
Yeah.
That is what I... And studying it, you might not even understand it right now. Everything. But go study. I will encourage you, go study those things. Listen to it again. 3-4 times, no problem. Before you come on Sunday, listen 2 times. Pray about it. Let it get a hold. Let these things get a hold. That you're really sure you and them are real one. It's not a good story. It's not just a good sermon. But it's something that is real. Something, this, that is being said. This that the prophet is talking about here, those things that are revealed, and you are really getting together and you are getting one with it. Something that you know is, you're not talked into it. You're not talked into it. You are it. I hope I'm saying it right. You are that. You're becoming that.
Amen.
You and that has become one. That's Nobody can talk you out of it. Nobody can talk you out of it. Nobody. You are founded. You are completely founded on it. Let's pray. I didn't need to talk very much, but I would like to encourage people. Every time that we preach, don't even jump into conclusion. Brother John said something about something that the way he understands it. I don't know why I understand it the same way. I don't know why, but I see it the same way. What you said, I see it the same way, brother. But sometimes you can read it and say, okay, he said there, they are not one, and here he says they are one, and you kind of get confused. You can also get confused by a quote there, if you want to have the Holy Ghost, go and get be baptized in the water in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and you're going to get the Holy Ghost. It's there. That goes there. It's those things you find, they're a bit confusing when you get there. Just don't throw it away. Just put it there. It will be revealed by God.
Amen.
And unless God reviews it, it will always be confusing.
Yeah.
But if you put it there, there's a brother who asked me the other day, he called me. He said, I've been praying. I think he had prayed the whole night or something. I don't know. Because it was very late. And he's a brother that I've really helped to come to this. And he was kind of gone complete, but he's come back. And he said, I've been praying. How can I know that God has taken me? Has taken me in. And I told him, and you've been praying, crying, and I could hear he was like that. And I said, he's taken you in. There's no way you'd be even wanting it if there's no nothing like that. You cannot dance for it if it's not there. Praise
right.
God. So if you're dancing for this and you're studying and you're praying and you're that right there, no, it's getting you. And as Brother John said, it's not you getting it. Is that getting you? And when it gets you, you are never released from it.
Right.
You are in, and you are in for good. You're founded there, and that's what we want. I don't know whether I've disturbed your someone rather, but that's the way I see it, and it's good. So,
yeah.
So let's pray. Heavenly Father, we are so thankful. Sometimes I don't have words, Lord God, to say. When I come to you, when I see the things that I see, Lord God, that you do, Father, in the message, Lord, and what you've done, Father, in yourself. Father, we are so thankful, Lord, is the words that we can use. Father, what is deeper than that in our hearts, Lord? We love you, Father. We want to serve you. We want to surrender ourselves to you, Lord God. We want that quickening power, Lord God. Father, overwhelming us, Lord God. Getting a hold of us completely, Lord God. And we surrendering completely unto you, Father. Take us, Father, to yourselves now, Father. Take our shortcomings, Lord God. Take our things that, Father, that don't align with the word, Lord. Take them away, Father. Let them not even be heard in our midst, Lord. Let's leave a pure arrive before you, that you'll be preached with us, Lord God, is our prayer. That's why you brought us in this age, Lord, that you can have a bride, that you can have a group of people, Father. The Lord God will be you. The Lord God will be in them, and you and them will be one. And you manifest, Lord God, like you did here on earth, Father, that you are called God, and that group of people called the bride can be called God in this our Lord. In all things, we give glory and honor in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior, we pray. Amen.